Question. Thank you for all coming. And Madam Clerk, I call the meeting to order. Would you take a roll call, please?
Commissioner Villicana?
Present.
Commissioner Simpson Spearman?
Here.
Commissioner Campbell?
Here.
And Chairman Henry?
Here. And I'll note for the record that Commissioner Moltari has indicated that he will not attend today's meeting. So with that, we'll join me in the flag salute, please. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, so with that, we'll continue into our first public comment period for any items that are not on today's agenda. As a reminder, if you want to speak this morning, you need to fill out a request to speak slip, either up here at the front of the dais or at the back of the room outside the door there. So if you could fill out those requests to speak, and then we can move on efficiently. So I don't see any requests to speak in the general public comments, so they're all items that are on the agenda. And seeing nobody else coming forward, we'll close public comment and look forward to an update from planning staff.
Good morning, Chair Henry and Commissioners. Alexandria Fowler representing the Planning and Building Department. I'm going to first start off with my staff update talking about recent actions by the Board of Supervisors that pertains to your commission. On Tuesday, March 15th, the Board of Supervisors directed planning staff to return with an ordinance repealing the county's inclusionary housing ordinance and affordable housing fund. The long-range planning team, led by Erlyn Singwald, will return with the appeal ordinance in June of this year. What this means for current planning is that inclusionary housing ordinance remains in effect until the repeal has taken place. Any land use permits or subdivisions going to hearing after June 2022 will not be subject to inclusionary housing requirements. Building permits on parcels that are subject to deferred in lieu fees per past subdivisions likely will not be required to pay in lieu fees. And stock deferral agreements referencing the fees in place at the time of issuance. In the coastal zone, development projects are still subject to Title 23 affordable housing requirements that existed prior to the inclusionary housing ordinance. For example, projects of 11 or more units are still required to provide 15% affordable housing. In lieu fees will no longer apply in the inland or coastal zone once the repeal ordinance takes effect. Regarding your upcoming meetings, your April 14th meeting currently does not have items tentatively scheduled, so we're anticipating that that meeting will be canceled. Your April 28th meeting has the following item tentatively scheduled: a third and final time extension for Dow Vineyards of a minor use permit and coastal development permit to allow for the remodel, additions, and changes of uses to several existing structures located at 7432 Exotic Garden Lane, north of the community of Cambria. And I'm also anticipating that at that meeting, I'll come back with a review and discussion business item for your commission with a summary of all of our workshop discussions. So then that way we can work out some follow-up items and get something scheduled based on the direction that you provided at your meeting on the 24th. And with that, that concludes staff's update. I'm available for any questions.
Thank you very much. Okay, so we move on to the consent agenda. You have in front of you the meeting minutes from our last meeting. Anybody want to discuss that, or are we ready to approve these? Seeing nothing, we'll take a vote on that then. This is a raise of hands. Okay, so all in favor of approving the consent agenda? Aye.
Aye.
None opposed? So the motion passes.
Chairman Henry, we need a motion and a second.
I'll make a motion to approve
okay.
that.
Thank you.
And I'll second it.
Thank you.
Okay, so we had our practice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
And none opposed? All right. Officially passed. Thank you. Okay, so we will now move on to our first hearing item, and that is the item number 4 on the agenda. And before we begin that presentation, we'll take public comment. Is that correct? Before or after the presentation?
After the presentation.
After the presentation, okay. And before we introduce that item, do we have any ex parte on this from the commission? Go ahead.
I did drive by the area and took a look at it, yes.
Anyone else? I did visit the project site as well. So, and we're ready for the presentation. Thank you.
Hearing item number 4 is a hearing to consider a request by ABR Property for an amendment to the San Luis Bay Estates Master Development Plan. County file number AMEND 2022-00002, Supervisorial District Number 3, Nicole Ellis, Project Manager.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Clerk, and good morning, Chair Henry and members of the Commission. My name is Nicole Ellis, Project Manager with the County, and this morning I'll be presenting staff's recommendation to the Planning Commission that this item be continued. So the request by ABR Property LP for an amendment, case amend 2022-002 to the San Luis Bay Estates Master Development Plan, and for a phased development plan, coastal development permit, case DRC 2021-00126, to establish 10 overnight accommodations at the Avila Beach Golf Resort while converting the existing cart barn into a public assembly flex space, has been scheduled and publicly noticed for consideration by the Planning Commission during today's hearing. The County Planning Division has received additional public comments from the Avila Valley Advisory Council, dated March 15, 2022, as well as comments from the San Luis Bay Estates HOA, dated March 15, 2022, and comments from Mr. Pusonic, dated March 22, 2022, regarding the project. Therefore, staff recommends the item be continued to afford the county the opportunity to respond to these comments which were received. Staff has met with the applicant and agent team for the project who have acknowledged and are supportive of staff's recommendation to continue the item, and we will continue to work with them to bring this item to the commission at a future hearing. The parties who provided written public comment in advance of this hearing have also been provided a courtesy notice via email of our staff memorandum recommending the continuance. It should be noted that the original continuance memorandum stated the intent to continue off calendar with re-notice. However, staff has identified an available hearing date of May 26, 2022. Therefore, we ask that this item be continued to a date certain of May 26, 2022. Again, noting that is a change from our original memo, just for clarification. Okay.
Okay, thank you. So we have a number of people here to make a public comment today. Maybe I should take a straw poll of the commission to see if our intent is to continue to a date certain, but still allow public comment to take place, if that's the direction of the commission.
Mr. Chairman, if I could quit coughing. As I sit here and think about this, if there are people that have an interest in this at this time, their comments may be of interest to our staff in kind of relooking at this whole project. So I think it would be important to listen to it at this point and would help the staff out.
Is it your intent to continue to a date certain?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Are we in agreement with that? Okay, very good. Well, with that then, I will open public comment for this item. Thank you, Nicole. First request to speak is from Jamie Jones. Ms. Jones, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. Happy to be here in person again. So I'm happy to see all of you. I'll keep my comments brief. We just came to be here to be available for questions, but also recognize and support the continuance to the date certain. We wanted to have it to a date certain, so that was our request, so we didn't have to burden staff with additional time for noticing. We plan to work with staff to address the comments that have been received from the community members as well as the advisory group and come back and see you at the end of May. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jones. The second request to speak is from Robin, and is it Pisonic? Am I pronouncing that correctly, sir? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and fellow commissioners. I would like to hold off my comments pending discussions with staff on the issues that we have raised, if that would be acceptable, or I can talk about it right now, but I think it would be appropriate to discuss this with staff first.
The prerogative is yours, and we're fine with that. You can make that
if you don't mind. I would prefer to do it that way.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our last request to speak on this item is Curtis Cole. Good morning, Mr. Cole.
Good morning. I'm Curtis Cole. I live in San Luis Bay Estates. I'm also on the board of directors of the Homeowners Association of San Luis Bay Estates, and I'm here today speaking on behalf of that group of people, the homeowners. I also happen to be the representative for San Luis Bay Estates to the Avila Valley Advisory Council, and I'd like to open my comment by pointing out that for the last 6 months or so, AVAC has heard continuously, first from Captain Lee, then from our supervisor, and then from the Office of Emergency Services about a problem that we have in the Avila Valley and San Luis Bay Estates in particular, and that is emergency evacuation in the event of a wildfire. We have recent experience with a wildfire. As you recall, the Avila Valley had a fire, man-made. Fortunately for us, the wind was blowing from the north. Unfortunately for Shell Beach, they wound up with the damage of the fire. We didn't get it. But astonishingly, the people of Avila Valley made the roads very, very congested by driving toward the fire. Now, that explanation suggests to me that when people begin to panic, sometimes they make a bad decision. The point is that when you have a two-lane road, Avila Beach Drive and San Luis Bay Drive, to get out of an entire community, it's going to create a problem, even in a town as small as Avila Beach. San Luis Bay Estates, however, has 620 homes, 1,200 people, over 1,000 vehicles, some of which admittedly are golf carts. But the fact is that in the event of a fire, our primary evacuation route are our roads and our community. The issue is whether or not those roads should be overburdened by the events that take place at the golf course. It's that simple. What brings it to a head with this particular application is that although it's a very small number of units that are proposed to be constructed at the golf course, in reality, it's on our other evacuation route to the west, to the ocean, in the event of a sundowner, a Santa Ana wind condition. And we know those happen. We have retired firemen who live in our community who've warned us that's the risk we face. Our secondary emergency access route is Blue Heron Drive to Anna Bay Drive and out. In the packet of materials that you have is an aerial photo, a map showing the intersection of Blue Heron Drive, which goes along San Luis Creek, into the heart of the golf course amongst the properties in question, connects there with Lupin Canyon Drive coming down through Harford Canyon into Anna Bay Drive, which goes up over the hill past San Luis Bay Inn and then connects to Avila Beach Drive. That's where we go in the event of a fire coming from the east. It's not a small risk that we face because, as you know, most of the homes are up in the hills. Plenty of brush. We have been told repeatedly that we are at risk. It is a high-risk fire area. Now, admittedly, the golf course is not. The golf course is open space. Its purpose is to help protect our community. That decision was made by the county 50 years ago, and it was a very wise decision then. It continues to be a wise decision to maintain that policy. The issue, I just addressed the concern that we have. The issue is whether or not this particular application is piecemeal, a piecemeal application. Now, what do I mean by that? These words are coming new to me. This is not my field by any stretch of the imagination. Incrementalizing an application, segmenting it for one purpose or another, we believe in this instance it has to do with environmental impact reporting.
Okay, Mr. Curtis, thank you. Your 3 minutes are up, sir. Thank you for your comments.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay, I see no other requests to speak for this item, so come back to the commission and look for a motion to continue us to date certain on the 26th of May.
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
I'll second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Madam Clerk.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Simpson-Spearman?
Yes.
Commissioner Villacana?
Yes.
Chairman Henry?
Yes. Okay, thank you very much. Now on to agenda item number 5. And again, before we get going, I'll ask for any ex parte on this from the commissioners.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, I visited the site, Chair.
And I, too, visited the site for the record. So with that.
Hearing item number 5 is a hearing to consider a request by Bill and Jim Keyes for a variance, minor use permit, coastal development permit. County file number DRC 2021-00041. Supervisorial District 3, Project Manager Terry Waller.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Henry and Planning Commissioners. Terry Waller, Planning Staff. Let's go in here. Starting with the project description, this is a variance to allow grading on slopes in excess of 30%. A minor use permit, coastal development permit to allow grading on slopes between 20 and 30%. Grading and excavation is necessary in this case because of the steeply sloping lot. This is to allow for the construction of 2 single-family residences on a single 6,001 square foot residential multifamily zoned lot. Residence A is approximately 1,950 square feet with 454 square foot garage and storage area. Residence B is approximately 1,950 square feet also with a 965 square foot garage and storage area. The site is located at the corner of Front Street and San Antonio Street in Avila. As you can see on the slide, and the property, as I mentioned earlier, is zoned residential multifamily, as are the adjacent properties in this neighborhood. The aerial shows surrounding development, existing development, as well as the vacant parcels. I have some more photos showing the site from Front Street, from the corner of San Antonio and Front Street, and then looking down towards the ocean. As you can see from the aerials, the site is upsloping from Front Street, and excavation into the hillsides for the garages and retaining walls are necessary. The next slide shows the location of the residences on the site, the retaining walls and foundations. The next slide shows the open area calculation. In gray is the open area, and the lighter gray is the building footprints. The next slide shows the basement or lower level floor plan. You can see the location of 3 car spaces here also, clearly. For one of the units, And then you can see the parking on the other unit, on Unit A, on this exhibit, which shows the first floor plan. The second floor plan shows the layout of the rooms and so forth in the residences. And here we have the front, that is the south-facing elevation for each of the buildings. And the next slide shows the rear or north-facing elevations for the buildings. And you can see the retaining walls that will be supporting the earth in this particular slide also. And I'd like to just point out that the parking space, the additional parking space for guest parking behind the unit on the left is supported by a retaining wall, as you can see here. The next slide shows the west-facing side elevation for each of the units. And here we have the east elevations. The main issues are compliance with the local coastal plan policies, and the project was reviewed and meets the policy objectives. The next issue that was identified was the Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance and San Luis Bay Coastal Area Plan compliance. The project complies with both Title 23 and the area plan. The Avila Beach specific plan is, of course, a critical review step for us, and I'll provide some more comments in detail after this slide. And with any variance and grading in this type of situation, geologic stability and drainage are also important, and the project complies with the Title 23 requirements in this regard as well. The Avila Beach specific plan allows high density with Planning Commission approval, otherwise it's to be low density. And there's some criteria that we reviewed to make sure that they meet the specific plan in this regard. The only reason that they requested additional, the high density was for additional square footage. The way the calculations work, if you have high density, you get a little bit bigger building, square footage for each building. And I'd like to point out that the number of units is actually at low density. It's two units, whereas a high-density project would be additional units. So they are not, they're really, the only purpose of this is really for the additional square footage. The specific plan also allows a 20-foot high height for all of the buildings based on average natural grade point of measurement, so long as no public view is obstructed. And you have a 2.5 to 12-inch roof pitch, so they want pitched roofs in order to achieve the 25-foot height limit. In this case, we looked at the public views, not private views from individual houses, of course. That's not the criteria. And we felt that this met this requirement as well. No parking is allowed in the front setback, and the project has been designed so that there is no parking in the front setback. There's also a requirement that the front setback be consistent with adjacent lots, and this was carefully reviewed, and the applicant agreed to a 20-foot front setback, although the setbacks in this neighborhood are variable. That was the most, the largest setback that we found in the residential portion of the neighborhood. So staff feels that the project complies with the specific plan. The other issue is geologic stability. Beacon Geotechnical Incorporated prepared a geotechnical engineering report and found the site suitable for the development that's proposed. And the conditions of approval will require all recommendations from the report to be followed in the design, construction, and the inspections of the project. The conditions require construction be observed by the certified engineers to verify subsurface conditions as they're excavating the site. Also as a requirement. The advisory council is the next issue I'd like to touch on. The Avila Beach Committee and the Avila Valley Advisory Council, AVAC, discussed the project and forward comments to staff. And they had a number of different comments in, you know, I attended several of these meetings, and there was much discussion about the project. And I've summarized the key elements that I thought were most important for a Planning Commission to hear about today. And the rest of there's a couple other items that are in the staff report, but they're of a lesser magnitude. So one of the concerns was the number and location of parking spaces. That is generally a concern in the town of Avila. There's a lot of concern about parking. And the project was revised in response to these concerns to increase the number of parking spaces to 6. And so it was evaluated as a multifamily project, not as 2 single-family houses, which would be 4 parking spaces. In this case, they elected to propose 6, and the designated parking is consistent with CZLUO. There was also an objection to vacation rentals, which was in the initial request project application. The applicant eliminated the vacation rental request, so that's off the table now. There was another concern about light and glare, as most of our projects now include conditions to require glare-reducing lighting fixtures. This one will also. There was concern about the appearance of retaining walls. As you can see, you know, there's a fair amount of earthwork that needs to be done to accommodate these two residences. But I'd like to point out that the retaining walls will be largely screened by landscaping and the houses themselves. So basically, they're supporting the earth. The houses will go forward of the retaining walls, and there'll be landscaping around the perimeter of the site to soften the appearance of the residences also. There was another concern raised about CEQA exemption, and we carefully reviewed this, and the project is clearly categorically exempt from the environmental review under Class 3 category exemptions as an infill construction of small structures, and is also consistent with the Avila Beach Specific Plan EIR certified by the Board of Supervisors on April 11th, 2000. So now on to the variance. The findings for a variance are, as you know, more detailed than those, or certainly different from those for a land use permit or a subdivision. And I've outlined the critical aspects of that. So first, there are special circumstances needs to be satisfied. The steep slopes in this case with no alternative location or use are the special circumstances. And the portion of the lot, a large portion of the lot, is over 30%. So there aren't a lot of opportunities for designing around it. Like on a large site, you might simply try to avoid the 30% slope, but that's not really possible in this situation. The request is not a land use variance. That is, you can't do a variance for a different type of use that's not allowed in the zone. And it is not. It's a residential project in a residential zoning category, RMF. And the other factor to consider is that there are no adverse impact on health, safety, or welfare. And with the stringent review conditions of approval, building code requirements, engineering, the geology work, engineering, structural engineer, architectural review, and our building division, we are confident that there will not be any health, safety, and welfare impacts with the project. And the other consideration is that it is consistent with the general plan and the local coastal plan, which I already outlined earlier in the presentation. We find that it is consistent. So the recommendation is to approve the variance, minor use permit, coastal development permit, based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B. And we also recommend that the adoption of the categorical exemption in accordance with the CEQA guidelines. And that concludes my presentation. Happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Waller. Any questions for staff from the commission on that presentation for clarification? Seeing none, do we have a presentation from the applicant?
Yes, we do. Okay. And it's ready to go.
Very good. Good morning. And if you could please state your name for the record.
Yeah, it's kind of stale there.
Yep, okay. I know it pops to this screen. When
oh,
I do
does
that.
It? Oh,
yeah, yeah, that's yeah, the yeah. problem.
It's a dual screen?
Yep.
You can just run it over here.
I'll just run it here. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it worked. Oops, I already did that.
Oh. Good morning, Mr. Commissioner and members of the Planning Commission. I'm Amber Davis with Quest Planning, the applicant's representative for Jim and Bill Keese's residential development here on the site. So as Terry stated...
Just real quick, sorry.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, so it's great.
The dual screen. I know.
Okay, sorry.
We tried.
This way you can only see those five slides.
Yeah. We have a short presentation, and staff, we want to thank staff for their comprehensive presentation on the project and just add a little bit more detail for your consideration. So, as you know, we're applied for a variance minor use permit, coastal development permit for two residences on the site. And I have Bill Keese here with me who wants to give you guys a little bit of background on the Keese's family history in San Luis Obispo County and also in Avila Beach.
All right. So thank you for letting me speak today. I am Bill Keese. I'm one of the applicants. My brother Jim was hoping to be here today, but he tested positive for COVID yesterday, so he had to stay home. And I'm joined today with my wife, Leanne Meinhold Keese. So she's here for moral support, but also part of the process, right? Just wanted to give you a little background on us and our project and our family. We've been in the San Luis area for a long, long time. My parents moved here in 1951, so it's been a long process. We've been very active in the San Luis Obispo community and the county community. We were all born and raised here. My wife as well was born and raised here, so we've attended high school here. I went to Cal Poly. My brother's a geographer at Cal Poly. He still teaches there. Both of my children went to Cal Poly. Leanne's family was very instrumental in the Valley, or in the San Luis Obispo as well. As far as a little bit of history, my dad was Citizen of the Year in 1979. He also was Cattleman of the Year in 2011. He was the 4-H beef leader for the Bishop's Peak Beef Unit for over 25 years, very active there. And he founded the Achievement House out at Cuesta College. So he was one of the founders of the Achievement House. He recognized that there was a need for people to with disabilities to do something after they grew up. And so he was a founder of the Achievement House, very active in that as well. And, of course, my mother was supporting him active along the way as well. We purchased the house just next to this property, 214 Front Street. My mother purchased that in 1955. So we've been very active in the Avila area since 1955. And we've just had to do some maintenance on it, and we made sure that we kept it as is to make sure that it was not changed. It was very dear to my mother. It used to be the customs house, and we made sure that it was stayed exactly the way it looks. If you go look at it, you'd swear it's the same old house, but it's had a major facelift because it was deteriorating, as you might imagine, over the years. We endured the creation of the inn at Avila Beach. My mother would not sell out, and so it's an example of a big building wrapping around her. If you've ever been there, if you go back to the, well, if you look at the site, that's not up there anymore. But if you look at the site, she would not sell. She did not want to give up her cottage, and so they built a three-story building around two sides of us on the property line because it's commercial, and, of course, it towers over us. And so we managed through that and continued moving forward with our project. In 2001, when the Unocal situation happened down in Avila, we were not able to use the property for many years. They redid the town, and at that point we were able to buy this lot from Unocal. Unocal was basically purchasing properties from everybody who didn't want to endure this problem. We ended up buying this lot from Unocal at that point, and then at that point we were very active in the Avila Beach specific plan. My brother attended all the meetings, gave all the comments, so we were active in making sure that Avila Beach stayed within what it was going on there. So we did all of that. The house just above us, 75 San Antonio Street, is owned by my brother. And so he's our neighbor above us, and that was also part of the Unical discussion when we purchased that house. So basically that whole corner is the Keys family corner. And so we're currently in that house. His daughter's living there full-time right now, and we'll be doing that while she's building a new house or remodeling a house here in San Luis Obispo. So that's going on there. As we've said, we are local people. We've been very active. We have properties out in the Pozo area, ranches in Creston. We definitely have been here for quite some time, and we plan to be good Avila Beach participants. We're planning to build two homes, one for my brother, one for myself. I have 6 children and 12 grandchildren, and they love to go to Avila Beach. And our plan is to use these homes for our personal use and allow our children to come and do that. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Amber to give a little update on what's going on here.
Sure. So I'll just give you a couple of more, project detailed slides. I want to let the commission know that, due to Avila Valley Advisory Council feedback and community feedback, we had originally gone in and asked for a vacation rental request for both units, and we removed that request at their request to do that. So we also moved the front parking out of the front setback and added an additional space behind the residence, and then an additional space within the garage of the residence, making the project compliant with the residential multifamily parking requirements of 6 spaces. We took landscaping into account very much so, and the landscaping proposed is in multiple locations to add visual relief and green space to the project, and we are going to be utilizing drought-tolerant plantings. So in conclusion, the proposed development of the two residences is consistent with the area plan standards and ordinance requirements. It's consistent with the surrounding developments. We took that into great consideration with the design of the two residences, and really meets the overall character of the Avila Beach community.
Okay, thank you for your presentation. Okay. Any questions for the applicant before we move to our deliberation? Seeing none. So at this time, we'll go ahead and do public comment for this item. I do see a request to speak from Sherry Danoff.
Stay here.
Good morning.
Commissioners, you can hear me okay?
I'm Sherry Danoff. I'm an Avila area resident, and I'm representing myself today. I have 3 concerns about the project. One is about the minimum parking standard having been met. I'm aware that the advisory council wanted more parking because Avila has a dire shortage of parking, which most of the public is aware of. When they come in, try to find parking, particularly on weekends, they queue for long periods of time looking for parking and then often leave unsuccessful. So this project is a corner project with part of one of the two houses fronting on Front Street, and the driveway removes 2 parking spaces. So even though there may be 6 parking spaces, they're really just 2, which is pretty standard for 2 separate houses. It meets a requirement, but I'm concerned that when advisory councils make recommendations, they should be taken pretty seriously because they're the ones that know what's happening in the area, and I think that that's why we have advisory councils, to tell you what the area's concerns are and whether more than minimum standards should be met. So that's the first concern. Another concern is that it doesn't appear that the project is consistent with the rest of the block on Front Street, which is Avila's main commercial street. It's about 3 or 4 blocks at most long. And on the same block is a hotel, and then on the other corner, a restaurant. And so having a house and driveway on Front Street doesn't seem to be compatible with that block. And then the last is, it's more of a generic concern, but the project could have up to, I guess it's 5 units, and it just has 2. And so the county has zoning for multifamily to address the fact that we have too much unaffordable housing and not enough affordable. And so it's a concern that the ordinance allows reducing the development to single-family houses instead of maximizing the potential. My thinking is that if this is something that might concern the Planning Commission, they could write a letter, communicate in some way that they would like to see this provision in the ordinance changed.
Thank you, Ms. Stenoff, for your comments.
And thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, so I see a request to speak from Amber Davis. Did you fill this out just simply for the presentation? Was that the purpose? And for yourself, sir? Okay, very good. So I don't see any other requests to speak for this item. So I'll close public comment at this time and bring it back to the commission for your consideration and deliberation. Christina, do you have a...
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to meet you, fellow neighbor. I'm in Avila, too, so it's very nice to meet you. And thank you for your comments. I think that when, and I'm just speaking some ideas that I have, gentlemen, but it seems like the build is a small build. It seems like they increased the setback to 20 feet, which is more than the other areas. They did increase the parking spaces, if I understand you correctly, from a minimum of 4 to 6. Is that correct?
Yes, we reevaluated it. At first, it was presented as 2 single-family residences with 2 parking spaces required per unit. Right. Then we reviewed it as a multifamily project, which I believe is the correct way to look at it in the beginning anyway, because it is on a multifamily property, even though the houses are detached. It's really a multifamily project, just designed as 2 single-family residences.
Sure.
So we encouraged them to add parking spaces, and they redesigned the project to do that. And then we went through a fairly elaborate review of the existing parcels so that it met the specific plan requirement to have the front setbacks compatible with the neighborhood. It's a little bit challenging because down the street in the commercial area, of course, they have 0 front setbacks. And then as you go up the hill, as it were, you have the older cottages and, you know, a real variety of different setbacks. So it was a little challenging. And I'd like to point out that 20-foot setback is the standard requirement for a residential single-family lot, a conforming lot. And so we're very comfortable with this. We did not calculate the additional parking, which would be available in the front for at least Unit B. But because of that 20-foot setback and the orientation of the garage and the driveway, guests could park in the driveway, even though that's not the official on-site parking requirement. That's
okay.
Just the reality of how, you know, we all know that people park in their driveways when they have friends over. So.
Right. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. And so all of those things, I think also the way that you recused from the vacation rental shows another way of where you're working to, you know, bring it together.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking at the appearance and the light, again, making concessions to try to blend into the community and address those community needs. In terms of the look of it, when I drove past and put the drawing up there, I thought it looked very attractive to the site. And again, I think that just is difference of opinions, you know, which is very... So when I heard your comments from you as an individual, but I really feel you've done everything you can to blend into the site and to be part of a community that you've been a part of for a very long time. So I would be very supportive of this project.
Any other thoughts from the commission?
Alex? The only thing, you know, while I was looking through the project, I was thinking about the hotel that we had reviewed last year down in Cambria, and the parking was an issue down there as well, and it's always going to be an issue in some of these communities. Even in Paso Robles, we have some of the same thing, and it seems like the project really took that into account, tried to get as much parking on the property as they could, did a wonderful job. I think it looks like a lovely project, and we can't stop development because, you know, there's a parking issue. In these great places, there's going to be parking issues, and I think they did everything to mitigate the concerns.
Thank you. Commissioner Campbell?
I agree with the other two commissioners. I think it's well designed for what it is. I've been by that lot a lot, and they're taking advantage of its overseeing to the harbor and those kinds of things. So, I'd be very in favor of it.
Okay. Do you have some more? I think, I'm in agreement. I think the project is well designed. Clearly, it's within the allowed use of both the land category and also meets the rules for development. I do appreciate your comments on this project. I would point out it's always difficult when you have a nexus between commercial lots, and at some stage, somewhere along the street, there's going to be a segue into residential lots. This just happens to be the project that's doing that. But I do think that it's designed in sympathy with the character of Avila Beach. Certainly, you look at some of the other properties, and you tend to see this color scheme and these sightings and that kind of style of development in Avila. So I do think that efforts have been made to address the concerns of both AVAC and the San Luis Estate of concern. Actually, that was the other item. So I am in support of this. So I think if there's no further discussion, I would entertain a motion.
I'd like to move that a variance minor use permit, coastal development permit, DRC 2021-00041, based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B.
And I'll second that motion.
Okay, moved and seconded.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Simpson-Spearman?
Yes.
Commissioner Villicana?
Yes.
And Chairman Henry?
Yes. The motion passes. Thank you very much.
Congratulations, and thank you for your comments.
So with that, I will move to take all testimony and documentation into the record.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor, please signify.
Aye.
Opposed? None. The motion carries. And then I move to adjourn this meeting and to the next scheduled meeting on April 28th. So I'm looking for...
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
None opposed. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you all very much. Thank you.